Pray the Lord, brethren, you too in the name of the Lord Jesus. May we start with a word of prayer. Loving Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, God, for this morning and the worship of your Savior. Even God, for allowing us to be your children. Allowing us, God, to come before thee, the armor of tongues, mission, your holy and mighty name. Jehovah God, I pray, you, Jehovah God, come and feed us, God, this morning, as your purpose to God, even God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. I want to read a scripture here. From the book of Second Timothy, as we conclude, you know, not actually finish the topic, but just concluding our sharing this week. I really want to apologize for my wordings. Thank you, Brother Nzima, for trying to bring it out. I'm a very poor speaker. Sometimes I don't understand how I was permitted to be speaking the word. Amen. Now I want to read from the book of 2 Timothy 4, verses 1. To review verses there. Yeah, to 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, in his kingdom. Be the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves to just having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. We shall also read Book of Numbers 14. And remember, as we started this sharing on Monday, we read from the book of Numbers 13, from 1:7 to 30. And we saw how the Israelites was sent, the spies were sent to spy the land, the 12 representatives of each tribe, and how they came with an evil report. And the two of them, Joshua and Caleb, sure believed that the God who had promised would surely make it come to pass. They had enough confidence. And we heard that it is the same confidence that we need to have to know that even today, this day that we are living in, that God who said there would be a church is more than able. He is the one who started the good work. He is the one who will see that he has come to a completion. It is his work. Now, unfortunately, the children of Israel, you know, when they saw this, the Bible says they murmured against, you know, the majority were against the promise. And they murmured against Moses. That's what the Bible says, the book of Numbers 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried unto the, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Would God we had died in this wilderness. the doubts, the unbelief that had crept into them because of not taking God at his word, of not knowing that he who spoke can never lie. They felt, you know, they started murmuring because they felt now they, you see, the devil can misinterpret. They felt that now the land that God has spoken about, or the promise that God had given them about the goodness of the land, the inheritance that God had spoken to their fathers, wasn't going to be fulfilled, or they will not get it. Now, he therefore said, and then they murmured as to a better that they died in Egypt. And my brothers, you know, we have the same kind of characters today who are complaining. It were even better when we were in the denomination. It were even better when we were in those Pentecostal groupings. Why? That was they're trying to make it a mistake that God sent us a message in this day and time. You see, and wherefore has the Lord brought us out to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Why not better for us to return into Egypt? Oh, our wives and our children. But look at the conditions that is there today. And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return and into Egypt. You can imagine now that after all this, they realized it were better for them to go back to Egypt. Even after seeing all the mighty works of God, they felt it were better for them to go back to Egypt. The same bondage, the same slavery. I may not be speaking very well, brothers and sisters, but I pray that God will bring the right revelation to your ear about this, that they felt they better get a captain to take them back to Egypt. They said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt. You see, something that should not even have been imagined, that it were better for them to return to Egypt, to that suffering, the slavery they were in. My brother, you know, we are also living in a time that people have lost confidence in God. They've lost confidence in the promises of God. They have lost confidence in the word of God, and have taken it to be like just mere stories. Let me finish here before I explain that. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of this congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, excuse me, it's an exceeding good land. If the Lord light in us, then excuse me, I'm sorry, then he'll bring us in this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Praise God. We need your fullness and Caleb's today. I mean, Caleb's and Joshua's today. Who would stand with what God promised about us? Who would believe what God said despite the difficulties, despite the circumstances, despite the mountains before us and the seas before us. That's why Paul speaks about this. Amen. charging Timothy. And he charged him, telling him to be instant in season and out of season. And he was telling him this. Let me read it again so that it may get into our hearts properly. This is the thing. He says this. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He charges Timothy and tells him, preach the word. Amen. Be instant in season and out of season. What is it saying? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Amen. Why? Paul is charging Timothy to preach the word. Because a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. If this is not the time, I don't know which time it is now. And God, who spoke this, we talk about God who keeps his word. He's the one who is saying this. That is a time to rebuke. It's a time to reprove. And also exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Because a time is coming, this is a time we are in, when people will not endure sound doctrine. They will not. They will not. And they are not. I'm not saying they are not enduring the sound doctrine. The times we are living in, they don't want that. They have also looked for captains to take them back to Egypt. Take them back, the denominations. How? They're not going to be back to be full gospels again, or PCS again, no, or Methodist again, or Baptist again. No. They're going back in their teachings and their behavior, their character. They don't want that sound doctrine anymore. Now listen to this. He says, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Aha. They will look now for men, just like Israelites did, looking for men. Someone take them back to Egypt. They're also looking for men who will satisfy what their itching ears want to hear. Today, in our country, many believers have grouped their bishops. People are fighting for territorial governance or something like that. We have bishops now in the message who are controlling churches. Well, it's a mining who should and should not be the pastor, who should be the deacon, who should not be the deacon. They're the ones who are swabbed, they say. Some in the names of being apostles, some in the names of establishing and normal churches, some all those kind of languages that are all over there. But the thing is, because that's what people want to hear, something's going to give them false comfort. Without having the practicality of the word in their midst. And brothers and sisters, we don't have any shortcut, but exactly to return to the apostolic faith. He says this, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Amen. And shall be turned unto fables. That's exactly what it is today. People don't want to hear the truth. People have no love for the truth. They want stories. People have turned. If today there's a famous thing of the present play, that the church won't be perfected by present play. That's a lie of the devil. God is still ministering to his people with life ministry. But instead, Paul says they have turned away to fables. Fables. You know what fables are? Stories of what happened. The good of, as I mentioned sometimes back, there are people are very good and ready to say what happened in the 60s, in the 50s. They are really good to talk about how the hall of light came in and all those are stories. People don't. I think I mentioned yesterday that people don't want to hear stories. People want to see the reality of that God you're speaking about. I was given a very interesting scenario recently of a certain music pastor who went to speak to a Pentecostal pastor, and he was trying to tell him to align him with tongues and how tongues should be spoken, how they should be, the way the Pentecostals do it is wrong. Now he brought him the biblical way, and the Pentecostal pastor became very interested. And he said, sure, yes. Oh my, that's a challenge to me. May I come to your church and see it? May I come to your church and see it? So that I can learn how the operation of the gifts takes place in the church. May I come to your church and see it? Because surely the way you have told me, the way you have explained to me, is actually biblical, scriptural, and we are wrong. May I come into your church and see it? I don't know if it were you, what would you tell him? Yes, come. You know what happened to my friend? He disappeared because he was just telling what he does not have. He was just narrating a story. Of how things happen are supposed to be according to the story he has read, but he had no actual experience of that thing he was talking about. Brothers, I think and I believe that the ideas of storytelling should not be in the church of God. We must be practical believers of knowing that the God who spoke is the God we are preaching about and is the God who can keep his word. I told the church, I better be found trying and failing than be found doing nothing. And when you try with God, he comes to help you where you can fail, where you cannot make it, because he's faithful and he knows our weaknesses. So it's a risky thing to speak about things we are not able. So I was saying that they shall turn away their ears from the truth. The truth is the word of God. They will not want to hear that, because the truth, which is the word of God, reproves and rebukes. They don't want to be rebuked. They don't want to be reproved. They only want to be exhorted. They don't want the doctrine of truth. I mean, God's doctrine, the word of doctrine, the sound doctrine, in other words, the word man-made doctrine. But Paul admonishes Timothy and tells him, they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But may we speak like Caleb. If God has delighted in us, the land of the word of God is ours, the land of promise is ours. If God keeps his word in the fulfillment of prophecies in the world, then why the sodomic condition that are taking place there? And we see how the rottenness in the world today is reaching its peak. Let us also know that equally in the simplicity of God's word, something is being done, the bride of Christ, to bring her to perfection. Not listen to stories, but living practically in the word of our day. And that's a promise that shall never change, that shall never be altered. Let us be careful, brothers and sisters. I say this with all love. Of the cunningness and the tricks of our enemy, the devil. As he did, Paul says that in the book of Corinthians. Maybe I can finish with that. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11, where he says, Verse 2, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may represent you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means have the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let us also watch. Let us be watchful over all these things. Let us endure affliction, as he told Timothy, and know that the God who spoke can never lie, is a God who can keep his word to the end. And he is yet watching us to believe him, watching us to trust him, watching us to anchor our faith in him, watching us even to go to the extent of challenging our faith on the basis of what has been spoken, and pulling all, lifting that Jesus out of history and bring us to the reality of today. And all things that may seem impossible are possible with him. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. Thank you. God bless you. Amen.